President Truman's Press and Radio Conference in the Old State Building, 8 May 1952.
Please be seated. We can't start the conference until the picture boys get through, so just be a little patient.
Well, we might as well say happy birthday to you.
This is the day on which you declared the victory over Germany back in 45. I wonder if you have any thoughts today on the outlook for continued peace that you can tell us about.
Well, since the German and the Japanese surrenders, our whole effort has been to attain a lasting world peace. That's what we've been working for constantly and continually. When the Cold War started in Greece and Turkey and Berlin, and finally in Korea, we had to put forth every effort possible to prevent all the free world from coming under communist control. Up to date, we've been successful in preventing a third world war. Conditions at the present time are very grave. We've been faced with a steel strike and an oil strike, and we are now faced with some difficulty in the copper industry, and the attitude of the Congress toward the defense program and the mutual aid program is such as to imply that the necessity for those things is at an end. That, I think, is as good an indication of the situation as I can give you, because what has happened very recently is right down the alley of Mr. Stalin. Could we maintain our industry on an even keel? Could we continue the mutual defense program to its logical conclusion and finish the economic program that's necessary to finish that mutual defense program, there would be no third world war. I'm still hopeful that we can get all these things straightened out and carry our program to a conclusion, in which case we will have a lasting and universal peace.
You say the chief danger now is inflation or deflation?
There's always a chance of both, and we have to guard against both, and that's the reason we have these powers to meet the situation.
Mr. President, I don't
so far hasn't prevented either one.
Are you in a position yet to tell us how the government happened to offer the steel industry $4.50 a ton just prior to April 8th?
The steel industry will not be discussed while it's before the Supreme Court.
Mr. President, last Friday, the Chilean government abrogated an agreement with the United States related to copper. And I noticed that you mentioned copper in your original statement. I was wondering what your views are on that.
Well, I can't express my views because it's a matter for negotiation between the President of Chile and myself, and I hope we'll bring it to a successful conclusion.
What are the prospects for settling the oil controversy?
We're working very hard to get it settled.
Is there consideration, sir, by the administration of applying the anti-strike injunction of the Taft-Hartley Act?
We have not yet considered it because we haven't come to that point yet. We still hope for a settlement.
President, you mentioned the mutual security bill and the action of Congress. In view of the fact that both House and Senate committees have cut $1 billion off the bill, can you be more explicit as to the effect of that?
I'll be extremely explicit when the bill reaches me. I can't comment on it now.
Referring to your first statement regarding the attitude of Congress toward the mutual security program and so on, do you intend to insist that the platform Democratic Party contains adequate provisions to carry those out?
Well, now, I can't write the Democratic platform, but I think it'll be a good one when it comes out. If you remember a certain speech on the 29th of March, I think the platform will be founded on that speech.
Of a defense mobilizer.
No, at this point. I'll let you know just as soon as I ready to make the appointment.
On your 68th birthday, do you have any reflections on life in the present?
Well, I have this reflection to make, that I've had a most happy and I guess as full a life as any man of this age, and I've tried my best in my public career to give the people everything I had to give. And I'm as happy as a man can possibly be on his 68th birthday. And as I told you yesterday, I feel as if I were 28, and that's not bragging a bit, because I expect to put in 10 years doing as I please. For the last 30 years, I've been in elective public office, and I've been a servant of the people. Therefore, I had to adjust some of the things that I would like to do to the necessities of government. From now on, I won't have to do that.
Following that up, sir, one day we were discussing the possibility of a meeting with Stalin, and you said that after you left the White House that you would like to travel and that you would like to go to Russia to see what the place looked like. I wonder if you had any plans like that.
It will depend, a situation of that sort will depend altogether on the policy to be pursued by the president who follows me. I shall support the president in his foreign policy as every citizen of the country should do, and I will not do anything to embarrass him.
Mr. President, a question on political philosophy on the local level. What do you think of a prospect of the two major parties combining on a single local candidate in order to defeat a third party candidate arising, and do you think that there is the danger there of one of the major parties losing its identity?
I'm for a two-party system, and I do everything I possibly can to make a two-party system work and to keep it strong, and that's the only way that our government can successfully work under the Constitution.
This time, the backward protection discussed with you his race for the Senate protection?
No, he did not. Wasn't there any reason why he should?
Well, maybe that answers my next question. There's a question there's a report going around that you had promised him an appointment, a 7-year appointment in the State Commerce Commission.
I make no promises of appointments in the political campaign. I've never done it, and I don't expect to start now, between now and the 20th of January, to overturn that rule.
Mr. President, I'll tell you one thing that has us a little confused. The mayor out at Tombstone, Arizona, I don't know if you've seen the story about Jack Williams.
Yes. I have a picture of Jack's markers.
Damnedest, what the mayor says is there's no such person buried out there, as I remember it.
Well, the committee went out and looked at that. The marker was somewhat disintegrated, and they made a new one for him. It's there. I have a picture of it. It's always good publicity, you know, to charge the president with not being truthful. Maybe the mayor won the headline.
Could you tell us what kind of committee? You said a committee went out with them?
Of citizens of the city of Tombstone.
Mr. President, one last question on that topic. Have you been in contact with the president of Chile on this matter?
Not up to date. Well, I can't talk about it.
Mr. President, this 10-year after period, are you going to write or speak or lecture or...
I'm going to have a good time, Pete, and do just as a damn please.
you have any plans to make a Labor Day speech in Milwaukee? We understand it, Mr.
I've been invited to make a Labor Day speech in Milwaukee. I have not accepted this yet.
I ask a frivolous question I intended to.
That's all right.
Bertrand Russell, British philosopher, said in an interview today that no American politician could hold office if the facts of his private life were known. And also he said that the United States was becoming a matriarchy, and that he suggested that the men here adopt the damn with women slogan.
Well, there's only one part of that that I would like to answer.
That there's no American public official can hold office unless his private life is out on the clothesline for everybody to see.
I know nothing about it. I've stated my position on the FEPC, and it hasn't changed one bit. I'm for the Democratic platform and for the Republican platform on the same question.
Mr. President, did the Federal Reserve Board consult you about removing the strong
credit? Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Are they going, now they're taking off Regulation W. What about Regulation X?
I haven't discussed that with them at all. Regulation W was the only one that was discussed. And the situation is one that should be flexible to meet the situation as it comes up. I was asked about inflation and deflation over here a while ago. And the action of the Federal Reserve Board is right in line with the way it should be done. Now, I hope that won't encourage the Congress to take the power of the board to act.
You want that continuing power.
That continuing power to meet the situation as it comes along.
Now, there has been a charge that the administration and the Federal Reserve Board are playing politics with economics by keeping up the...
Not a word of truth in it, Pete. There's not a word of truth in it. A complete survey of the situation was made, and the decision of the board was made on its merits.
That was the Federal Reserve.
Of course, they're always charged wrongdoing for whatever you do when it's in the public interest.
The charge was made.
That's the charge. It's just a charge to discredit the fact that we're trying to keep the economy on an even keel, and we've done it. That hurts some people, but it's the right thing to do.
And can you make any, not a forecast, but take a view of what's going to happen during the next year? Will it be kept on an even keel with...
If the proper legislation passes, it will be.
And one of those things is continuing to expand production.
That's correct.
I'd like to ask a political question.
I'd like to answer that.
You've said that you are in favor of a free and open convention in Chicago. You've also said that you have the same right as any other Democrat to express choice. I'm just wondering if there's any conflict there, or whether it's possible that you may come out for somebody.
I have no such intention at the present time, Eddie, but the president, just because he's president of the United States, shouldn't be gagged when it comes to a choice of men running for office. And I've never been gagged. I'll always express my opinion as to who I'm for and why I'm for him. I'm not ready to do that yet.
Well, Mr. President, would you make your feelings known before the Democratic Convention?
Smitty, let's let the river take its course. I'll make up my mind when the proper time comes. And you know, I'm a pretty good judge of political approach. Much to the regret of some people in 1948.
Mr. President, do you have anything to add to your statement on Korea yesterday?
No comment on the Korean situation. My statement on General Ridgway has covered the situation, and it should not be talked about in the press now.
Mr. President, accepting your statement that you're a pretty good judge on political affairs as they develop, would you be good enough to analyze the situation in the Democratic Party for us right now? We're a little confused.
No, I don't think if I'd analyze it, you'd quite understand it, so I'll not make the attempt.
President, your travel abroad after you retire, you said that you would not do it if it were embarrassing to the next president. Could you say if you have a desire or a wish to travel, provided it conforms to the president's wishes then? And if so, where?
Well, I wouldn't say it in that way. I'd say, of course, that I do have a desire to cover some parts of the earth that I've never seen. But I would not want to do anything on that trip that would in any way embarrass the administration or the president who follows me in office, no matter who he is.
Well, sir, where you'd like to go?
No, I don't want to name any countries because you just caused me trouble. I've been over here delegations and everything you have to get me there.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You're welcome, Smitty.
Congratulations, Brian.